Welcome everybody. Hip hop's finest hour on the radio. Today is our 2-hour gospel special that I do every single Sunday. And also at the end of this episode is when I announce my guest appearances for the week, this coming week. So definitely want to stay tuned. And today I got Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer as the guest appearances on the show. So also make sure to start your day off. Go and get that fun outthegutter.com before they're sold out. I have the greatest hits right on the cover, right on the homepage. And you definitely want to make sure you get it before they're gone. There's only 1,000 ever that'll be made. And they're signed. And there's a lot that comes with it, a lot of great benefits. So you definitely want to get them before they're gone. But they're going. So, you know, you got to get them. And then also make sure to get that all those limited edition shoes, glasses that I got on there too. I also have my other things on there too that you can get limited edition wise. I have my autographed collectibles and autographed microphone I have and stuff on there. Definitely make sure to go on there and get that. And also that Thug Life Volume 2 as well. So I'm going to get to Joel Osteen and Royce Meyer. Let's go.
We are so blessed to be with you today. I hope you and your family are doing well. But know this, we are praying for you. We are standing in agreement that what you're believing for will come to pass. That you will see your dreams come to pass. That you will see God do things that only He can do. Thanks for being a part of the services today. I'm excited about having Joyce Meyer with us. You're going to be blessed.
Yes, you are. And you hear us say this often. You are not going to leave this service the same. And we believe that with all of our heart. You're going to leave stronger, more confident. You're going to have more wisdom. So just be ready to take it all in, what God has for you. We love you. God bless.
Together this morning, church. Now in mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know.
Church, we're so glad you're here today. Aren't you glad you're in the house of God today? Aren't you glad you get to worship God, to hear the word of God? Thank God we live in a country where we are free. We have freedom to worship God.
I've had that on my thinking lately. There's so many persecuted Christians. They don't get to come together. They don't get to worship freely, and yet we do, and we thank God for that. And so glad that you're here. So glad that you're watching by online, Facebook, however you're watching or listening. Thank you for tuning in to Lakewood. How many first-time visitors do we have here today? Oh, wow. Y'all, look around. Make sure you make them feel welcome. God bless you all. We're honored that you came. We know you're going to be blessed because Joyce Meyer is here today, and she's amazing. She taught a wonderful message this morning. She's going to do a different one today. You're going to be blessed by her ministry. But, you know, before we even continue to worship God and praise Him, we're going to just commit this service to the Lord. Let's pray together and believe that you're going to receive something from God today. Amen. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the privilege of serving you, of worshiping you, of hearing your word. And Father, I pray today that you would change us and you would transform us and that you would show us any thinking that is wrong. And not only that, Father, I pray that you would encourage those that are down and discouraged today. We just let go of the worries and the cares, and we cast them upon you right now in the name of Jesus. You said cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. And Father, we thank you that you will sustain us and you will help us. And so Father, right now we say receive our worship, receive our praise, because we love you and we praise you above all things in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, say amen. Let's worship God.
Like it or not, whether we believe it or not, but it does.
So we're going to continue to sing. Be with me. Sing the name of Jesus. Come on.
And oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness. Let it break.
you and we thank you, Father, for you are the only true God, and we love you and we worship you and we adore you, Father. We thank you that you're greater than anything that we're going through right now. You are greater than any closed door in front of us right now. You are greater than any sickness in front of us, Father. And we just call upon your name today. You said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and when the righteous run to it, they are safe. And I thank you, Father, that we are running to your name today, and we are safe in you, Father. And Lord Jesus, as we come to you, we call out for healing today. We call out for deliverance. We call out for peace. We call out, Father, for freedom from depression and discouragement and heaviness in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are great and you're greatly to be praised, Father. And we're not going to allow the enemy to keep us down. We're not going to allow anything to keep us from pressing into you and receiving from you today, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray for my friends, Father, that you would encourage their hearts, that you would strengthen them, Father. I pray that you would lift up their countenance today and that they would have a renewed vision and a restored joy, Father. I pray that they would recognize, Father, that they can count on you, Father, that they can truly trust you. When we don't know, you know all things, Father. When we're not able, you are always able, Father. When we can't see the end from the beginning, you see it all, Father. And we can trust you. I thank you, Father, for it. We thank you that you are the Lord, our healer. And right now, I pray for everyone that is sick in their bodies. I thank you for the healing anointing right now that is flowing into your people, driving out sickness and disease, correcting things that are not right, Father, healing them, Father, giving them wisdom to take care of their bodies and do whatever they need to do. But, Father, you are the Lord, their healer, and we thank you for it. We thank you that you are directing their steps, Father, that every step is ordered by you, and you will get them to the right place at the right time, and they need not worry, Father. I need not worry about the future, Father, when my hands are in your hands, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for causing faith to arise in our hearts like never before. A tenacity, Father. A tenacity to rise up, take hold of your word, and say no to the enemy and no to the plans of Satan in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are giving them a boldness as they've never had before. Even when this world is in such a mess it is, Father, we are the church of the living God. And Father, you said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And Father, I pray that your church would rise up and be the church, Father. Be the light and be the salt of this world. Father, don't fear, but take authority over fear. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Well, that didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. But evidently God had a word for you. Be the church. Be the church. We are the answer to this world. The gospel, Jesus, is the answer to this world. Not politics, not anything else. I can tell you right now, you are the answer because you have Jesus inside of you. And you must rise up. Instead of cowering in fear, you must go set people free from fear. You must get them saved. You must minister to them. Bring them into the church. Amen. Amen. I preached myself happy right there. Thank you, Father. We're so glad you're here, and I just want to encourage you with a thought. You know, the Bible says we have prayed. We have prayed, so we know that the answer is on the way. And the Bible says it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. That's how Abraham had to do it. That's how David. That's how everyone had to do it in the Bible. We are no different. We don't like that patience part, do we? But we have to walk by faith and patience. And in the meantime, we have to know that God is working on our behalf. And in the meantime, we have to make sure we maintain an attitude of thanksgiving and praise and gratefulness. That is so important. You know, a few weeks ago, I was thinking about some of the things that I had gone through and my family had gone through in the last year. And, you know, it just sort of aggravated me. As Joy said, I had the grumpies. And I just was thinking, I thought, I'm going to make a checklist of everything I've had to go through this year. And it wasn't in a good way. It's like, I can't believe I had to go through all this stuff. And so I began to make a mental checklist. You know, I got sick on our vacation, and I had to come home early. During the freeze, our pipes burst, and our master bedroom flooded. I didn't even mention this. My mother broke her hip during that time. But she's doing great over here. On the day of the freeze that our pipes broke, my husband had to go into the hospital. Just the weird things. I got COVID. And those are just the better things that I went through. I'm not going to mention them all. But all of a sudden, as I was making that list with a negative attitude, the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, don't go there. Don't go down that path, Lisa. You be grateful and you be thankful. And so I just made a U-turn in my mind, and I began to say, thank you, Father, that you healed me when I was sick. Thank you, Father, that you delivered my family. Thank you that you brought my husband out of sickness and out of the hospital. Thank you that you healed me of COVID. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've got to maintain that attitude of gratitude. You know what happened when I did that? I had a U-turn in the whole atmosphere around me. My attitude changed. I became joyous. I became happy. I was grateful. And I began to focus on what God had done instead of what had happened to me. That changed everything. We may have all gone through a lot, but let me tell you something, that God has brought us out of everything we've gone through. God is a faithful God. Let's be thankful for that. God is directing our steps. Let's be thankful for that. God is our strong tower, our helper, our refuge, our healer, our deliverer. Let's be grateful for that. In the meantime, we've got to keep this attitude of gratitude. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But, yeah, I like that. Preach it. But the Lord has delivered us from them all. Not just some, but from them all. Say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out of all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to make our declaration. I love this declaration. Joel used to make it over us, but he wanted us to learn it and say it. There's power in our words. So what we say matters. And I hope that when we say this together, you don't just say it to say it and get over with. You are actually taking hold of it and believing God that it is true in your life. Amen. Let's be strong. Let's say it together. I am blessed, prosperous, redeemed, forgiven, healthy, whole, talented, creative, confident, secure, disciplined, focused, prepared, qualified, motivated, valuable, free, determined, equipped, empowered, anointed, accepted, and approved. Not average, not mediocre. I am a child of the Most High God. I will become all I was created to be. In Jesus' name, say, I believe it. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless you.
I want to remind you of a spiritual principle from the passage in the book of Isaiah. It's a spiritual principle that's found throughout the pages of both the Old and New Testament. As a matter of fact, there are over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible that have to do with this subject. And it's a spiritual principle that, when obeyed, comes with incredible promises. The context for this passage in the book of Isaiah is that God's people, the children of Israel, were doing their best to observe the rules and regulations required by the law of Moses. They were doing their best to keep the feast and the holy days. They were observing the one day of fasting required by the Old Testament law on the Day of Atonement. They were doing all these things right, but there were some things that they were neglecting, some things that they were overlooking, and God wasn't pleased with them. And in this passage, the prophet Isaiah gives the people a word of correction from God, but he also gives us a powerful spiritual principle with incredible promises attached when we obey. As we look at this passage in Isaiah 58, when you read it, watch for the word then. Is this the kind of fasting that I've chosen, only a day for people to humble themselves? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer you. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Here's the spiritual principle. God wants us to care for the needy people around us. He wants us to do what we can do to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and care for those that are displaced and stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. And when we do that, there are these incredible promises attached to helping hurting people. Jesus used almost the same words in Matthew 25, describing separating the sheep from the goats at the end of time, separating those who would go on to eternal life from those who would go away to eternal punishment. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The disciples asked, Lord, when did we see you like that? Jesus replied, whatever you did for one, notice just one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Friends, we are called to love God and love people. And when there are people around us in need, we love them by our actions. John says, if you see your brother or sister in need and have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? He goes on to say, let us not love with words, but with actions. This spiritual principle is one of our foundational beliefs here at Lakewood. We say it like this, nothing is closer to the heart of God than helping hurting people. And we also say the main reason we're blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So we are very intentional about letting this spiritual principle guide our efforts here at Lakewood. That's why we provide water to those who have no access to clean water. Whether it's somewhere here on the Gulf Coast that's been ravaged by a storm, or through our partnership with Living Water International by building wells all around the world. Over the last 10 years, we've helped build 12 water wells in places like Honduras and Nicaragua, El Salvador and Haiti. This is why we do everything we can do to get food to those in need around us. 1 in 4 children in Texas don't have adequate food in their homes right now. Working with local and national partners over the 14-month period between 2020 and 2021, we delivered 2 million pounds of food to help over 40,000 families in need here in Houston and across the Gulf Coast. This is why we spend money and time caring for those who are sick and don't have access to health care. Whether it's providing care right here in Houston with our partnership with Casa El Buen Samaritano, or through our efforts of Dr. Todd and Sue Price caring for people in Northwest Uganda, or me providing care and supplies and equipment to small mission hospitals in remote parts of Africa. This is why we can do what we can do to help often society's most vulnerable, those with special needs. Over the past 12 years, we've helped launch 101 Champions Club in 17 countries, and we have a goal to launch many more this year. That's why we do what we can do to help people who are displaced by storms by providing a shelter for them right here in our own church building. And why we come alongside the many refugees that are flooding our city from war-torn areas around the world to do what we can do to help them. Here's my encouragement to you this morning. As individuals and as a church, let's continue to obey what God asks us to do. Let's continue to do everything we can do to help hurting people. Let's continue to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those in need around us. Let's remember that we're blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. And as we do that, let me declare over you what God promises to do when we obey. I declare that your light will break forth like the dawn. I declare that your healing will quickly appear. I declare that God will go before you and he'll be your rear guard. I declare that he'll guide you always. I declare that God will strengthen your body and satisfy your needs in difficult times. And I declare that he will always answer you when you cry out to him for help. If you receive that, would you say amen?
There's nothing closer to the heart of God than helping others.
That's what you do every week by being a part of Lakewood. Thanks for being here today, online, in person, listening live on SiriusXM. We'll take a moment to receive our tithes and our offerings. We appreciate your generosity, your donations that keep the ministry going. It says in Psalm 20 that God remembers your gifts and he looks favorably upon your offerings. You think about the creator of the universe. He sees when you give. And you know, sometimes people think, well, Joel, I don't give a lot. Well, you know, the tithe is the first 10%, but sometimes it's not the amount. It's the fact that you're being obedient to what God has asked us to do. So I want you to know God sees your sacrifices. He sees you honoring him. I believe what it says in Psalms, that you're going to have a bountiful year, that you're going to see your generous spirit, you're going to reap in generous ways as well. So be encouraged today. Remember, our job is not our source. God is our source. I believe he's going to open up some new doors for you. He sees your giving. I believe he has some abundant blessings coming your way.
We have received incredible stories from people who have been impacted by this message of hope. Messages from Zambia, Brazil, New Zealand, South Africa. Testimonies of people who have overcome setbacks and difficulties and are now growing in their faith. Your giving makes all of this possible. When we give to God, we are not only obeying him, but we are expressing our gratitude to him for the blessings in our life. We're showing him that we're not only thankful, but we're interested in helping hurting people and being a blessing to them. The scripture says God has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. Your giving is pleasing the heart of God and helping so many people. Thank you for showing your gratitude to God by giving and supporting those in our community and around the world.
We appreciate who you are, being a part of Lakewood, and I want to pray a prayer of blessing right now. Lord, thank you for all of our faithful givers, whether they're giving today or other times during the month. Lord, I thank you that you see their giving, that you're looking favorably upon them and their offerings. And Lord, that you'll just do things that they couldn't do on their own. Lord, you've done it in the past, but I thank you this year, Lord, that you'll show out in new ways. Lord, I thank you that you're not limited by the pandemic, by our job, by how we were raised, by what mistakes we've made. But Lord, you can still get us to where we're supposed to be. Lord, just even a bountiful, abundant, prosperous year. Bringing contracts and opportunities, Lord. Letting our gifts and talents come out to the full. I thank you for it. Lord, those that are struggling in their finances, we just put our faith in agreement with theirs, with what you promised, that you will supply their needs. That you're opening up new doors, and Lord, that you will take care of them. In Jesus' name, God bless you today as you give.
Here are some ways you can give. If you're attending our service in person today, you can use the giving card in your seat back pocket. Use one of the 10 new location boxes located throughout the building on both the first and second floors. Text Give Hope to 77977. Go online to lakewoodchurch.com/give. Mail a check to P.O. Box 27450, Houston, Texas, 77227. Or call us toll-free at 888-567-JOEL.
I've been held in your hand from the moment.
We are so blessed to have you at Lakewood today. The scripture says when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. So just make up your mind, you're going to have a flourishing week. The hand of God's blessing and favor is upon your life. And how blessed are we all to have Ms. Joyce Meyer with us today. I don't have to tell you, but Joyce is one of our very favorite, still going strong, just her humor, her practicality, her anointing. Joyce, you are one of a kind, and you're loved no more than at Lakewood. We love you, and we appreciate you sowing into our ministry, coming twice a year. Well, get ready, Lakewood. Come on, make her feel home, Joyce Meyer.
Good morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. You all look hungry for the word. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Like I said in the first service this morning, it's so wonderful to be preaching to people again. You have no idea what it's like to just stand in a room and look at cameras and talk to them for hours. It's very, very flat when you say something funny and there's nobody there to laugh. We love Lakewood. We love the Osteen family. And I think it's just a great church and a great place for you to be. And we're blessed to be able to come here twice every year. I'll be back in July. And I always look forward to being here. My husband, Dave, let Dave stand up and give him a hand. I'll tell you what, Dave just looks so good. He's going to be 82 this year, and he just looks amazing. Of course, he married a much younger woman. I'm only going to be about 30. We've been married 55 years. 55 years. If he can put up with me for 55 years, he deserves something special. Amen. Dave just wrote a book, and it's about America and why we're in the mess we're in, what got us here, and just really how serious it is and what it's going to take to get out of it. And I really want to encourage you to get online and get it from us or from Amazon or get it in one of your bookstores. It's called Freedom is Costly but Priceless. Amen. We have freedom now, but we are losing a lot of it, and if we don't take some action, we could likely lose it all. So please get his book. And then, believe it or not, I have written another book. I know that's hard to believe, but I've now written about 135 books. I love to write. And I told the Lord, when I'm gone from this earth, I want to leave a legacy in writing, because most of the books that have really seriously impacted my life were written by people that lived 100 and 200 years ago. And so I believe that the Lord tarries, my books can be helping people long time after I'm gone. And the title of the recent book is called The Power of Thank You. Now, I know that saying thank you and gratitude may not seem like a very important subject. Concerns me a little bit, because I know how people respond to things, and I can already tell by the way the sales of this book are going that people think, oh, I'm thankful. Yeah, I'm thankful. Well, you know, just like Lisa was sharing, I had a day last week where I kind of, for some reason, had the grumblies. You know, I had a day where I didn't feel too good. How many of you know when you don't feel good, it's easy to get the grumblies? Amen? And I don't even know what I was grumbling about, but something didn't feel good, me. And you know, all of a sudden I thought, I know how to fix this. You know, it's not so bad to have a problem if you know how to fix it. And all I really had to do, if you're having a bad day, all you really have to do is start thinking of the things that you have to be thankful for. She said she was making a list of the things that had happened to her in this last year. And you know, one time many years ago, I thought I'm going to make a list of all the things that Dave does that bugs me. Because I was mad at him. So I made this list of the things that bothered me. He plays too much golf. He watched too many sports, you know, whatever it was. And then I felt like God said, now make a list of all the things that you like about him. And you know what? The list of things that I liked was a lot longer than the things I didn't. Here's our problem. We think about what we don't have instead of thinking about what we do have and being thankful for it. So when I was having that grumbly day, I just said, Father, I thank you for my home. Thank God I'm not living out on the streets. Thank you that I have food in my refrigerator and in my cupboard. Thank you for my family. My goodness, I've got 4 kids, 2 daughter-in-laws, 2 son-in-laws, 12 grandkids, 5 great-grandkids. We have an awesome family. And you know what I'm thankful for? To just be able to go to the faucet and have hot and cold running water in my house. So I just want to encourage you to get that book, The Power of Thank You. And I was just thinking, if you would read that 3 times a year, it's not that huge, but if you read it 3 times a year, it might keep you out of trouble. Being thankful will keep you out of trouble. Well, Father, we thank you for the word this morning and for all the people that you've brought here. And I believe that the word is going to have an impact on their life. Now, I want you to join me in faith, because I'm believing God this morning that if there's anybody here that has not received Christ, that you will when we give an invitation at the end of this service. First service, there was at least 100 people that lifted their hand for Christ. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to be filled with the Spirit, and I believe that can happen as the word is preached. You see, the word is powerful, and the word of God has an anointing on it, and it will break the yoke of bondage. So you could be sitting out there this morning with some kind of an addiction, and just while the word is being taught, that could be broken off of you. Amen? And if you're sick, I'm believing God you're going to be healed. People can be healed emotionally, mentally, and physically. So everybody say, I believe.
I believe.
All right, we're going to see good things happen. I want to talk to you this morning about the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Amen. John 11:1-6. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. And he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick. Excuse me, can I have some water? Oh, okay. I'll go back here and get it. This was the same Mary who poured perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, which that's another whole story in itself. I mean, that was just shocking. Do you know back then women never let their hair down in public? And when she walked into that room and let her hair down to wipe Jesus' feet... You know, that's what the religious people do when you get a little excited about Jesus. My goodness, we dare not get excited about Jesus. We can act crazy at a football game, but don't get excited about Jesus. So the two sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, on my notes here, I drew a circle around the one you love, because that's what I want you to get. The one you love is sick. You see, Jesus was friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he went to their house on different occasions. And when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. You might say, well, wait a minute, Lazarus did die. Well, to be honest with you, yes, our physical body can die, but we're eternal beings. We'll never die. You know that? If you're born again, you're never going to be dead. I said, if you're born again, you're never going to be dead. Your body's going to lay down, but your spirit's just going to go right out and go right to be with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And you know, really, when somebody that we love dies and we grieve, we're not really grieving for them. We're grieving for us. It's our loss. Because Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. We would not be afraid of death if we actually really believed that. Amen? I can't tell if you believe me or not, but I'll pretend you do. So, Jesus said this is not going to end in death. Now, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So twice here, verse 3 and verse 5, he's made the point that he loves them. Everybody say, Jesus loved Lazarus. The next verse says, so. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed where he was at 2 more days. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Jesus loves Lazarus, made that point twice, so when he was sick, he didn't go help him. Wonder why sometimes God doesn't come and help you when you think you need him to, or when you'd like him to. You know why? Because sometimes we don't need to be helped when we think we should be helped. Sometimes it's better for us to wait because God's gotten something greater in mind. Come on. Come on. You say you want to see miracles in your life, but you'll never see miracles in your life if God doesn't wait until a miracle is all that's going to deliver you. Oh, we have to come to the point where we trust God more. That when he's making us wait longer than we think we should, that we say, God, I know you've got a plan. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you something that I believe. I don't just quote this anymore. I believe this with all my heart, and it helps me so much when I'm having problems. I really, really believe that all things work together for good. And if you can believe that, let me tell you something. It'll keep you happy while you're waiting. I really believe that all things work together for good to those who just love God and want his will. And so if I'm having to wait, it must be God's will. I may not want to do it, but God's got a better plan than mine. He said, my ways are above your ways, and my thoughts are above your thoughts. Now, some of you, well, probably almost everybody, how many of you are waiting on something right now in your life? Well, this message is for everybody, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? If you can't learn how to be happy while you wait, you are going to have one miserable life. You know why? We spend more time waiting than we do anything else. You know why? As soon as you get what you think, what you want right now, as soon as whatever you're waiting for comes through, you'll enjoy that for a little while, and it won't be very long at all, and you're going to ask for something. You're going to be waiting for something else. Is that true? So if you don't learn how to wait well, welcome to a miserable life, because that's what you're going to have. You know, I got to park on this for a minute because this is so amazing. Jesus loved Lazarus, so he waited. And I want to get you to understand that when things hurt in your life, when you're suffering or you're going through something that you just don't understand, it's because God loves you. And I know that, you know, that doesn't compute in our brains. But can I tell you something? And there's some people here that need to hear this today. Sometimes you need to love somebody enough not to rescue them. And some of you have got some grown children that you need to love enough not to go rescue them again. I know it's so hard when you're a parent. And I'm not suggesting we don't help our kids. But you know, if you've got a grown kid living with you and you've rescued them over and over and over, and they're just sucking the life out of you, love them enough to let them hurt a little bit and find their own way. And I tell you the truth, that is a word for some people here today. You needed to hear that. God sent you here to hear that. I had a brother. He's no longer with us, but I had a brother who had a drug problem. And I mean, he was the sweetest guy. You couldn't help but loving him. Good looking. He could have just had a great life. But he always just lived off other people and just had his problem. Drugs and alcohol. Not being responsible. Got married, had a kid. Got divorced, never took care of the kid. And oh, he'd tell me, I love you, sis. I love you. And I think he did, but you know, love is more than just, hey man, love you. And so he just got his life in such a mess that he made the decision he wanted to get himself straightened out. So he called and he happened to get Dave on the phone, which was probably good because I might have said no, but he said, I want to come home. He was out in Arizona somewhere, and can you send me an airline ticket so I can get home, or a bus ticket or something? I need help. So, of course, we wanted to help him. And we brought him to live with us, and oh, he was a mess. His teeth were all bad from all the drugs, and any kind of problem you wanted to have, he could have it. And so 4 years he lived with us, and we counseled him and talked to him. He got born again. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we let him come to work for us. He traveled with us on the road, and bought him a new truck. Gave him a life. God gave him a life back. And he was doing good, but I didn't want him to live with us forever. He was a grown man. And so we felt like it was time for him to get out, take care of himself. He had a job. We helped him get an apartment. We helped him get furniture. We couldn't have done anything else for him other than what we did. And he was wearing me out. I got enough to do trying to live my life without trying to live somebody else's too. And so he got out on his own, had a girlfriend, and I tell you what, it wasn't but a few months and he was just right back in the same mess all over again. And every time I turned around, I was getting a phone call, David's this, David's that. And I finally said, I'm not doing it anymore. And it wasn't that I didn't love him. But see, when loving somebody means that they're stealing your life and you have no life left, then you got to make some kind of decision. He either had to learn to stand on his own and be responsible, which is really what it amounted to. I couldn't keep doing that forever. Well, long story short, he called again several years later. Oh, I'm in trouble. I want to get my life straightened out. So I said, I'm not bringing you back to St. Louis. I can't do it again. So we got him into the Dream Center in Los Angeles through Tommy Barnett. They got him straightened out again. He had worked as a plumber, so they were going to put him to work working as a plumber. And he had every opportunity that he could have. But you know what? When sooner or later, people have to do something themselves. Are you with me? Come on. I don't know who needs this today, but somebody does because I didn't intend to go here, so I'm going to park here for just a minute. Who needs this today? All right, thank you. And so he told them out at the Dream Center in L.A. one day, he said, you know, love you guys. You've really helped me, but this is just not for me. I want you to take me and drop me off at the VA center. And the reason why he wanted to go there was because he knew that he could get some kind of pain pills or something that would help him. Well, long story short, and I'm sad to have to say this, but I got a phone call 2 or 3 years later that he had hung himself in an abandoned building in Los Angeles. Now, I was tempted to think, oh, man, I should have done something. I should have done something. But you know what? That's not true. Because it wasn't my job to raise him. He was a grown man. And that wasn't my job. And some of you need to stop feeling guilty because somebody else's life is all messed up. You know what? When my dad got finished with me after sexually abusing me for years and all the other stuff that went on, you couldn't have been a bigger mess than I was. But I'll tell you what, no matter how big of a mess your life is, you can get it straightened out if you will do your part. Come on. If you will do your part, there is nothing that God won't fix in your life. First thing you need to do is stop feeling sorry for yourself. Yes, I was abused. Poor me. Well, that was why my life was in a mess, but God said, I'm willing to heal you if you'll let me. Anyway, I'm getting off Lazarus. I need to go back. But I'm going to believe that little trip was God anyway. Amen. So he loved him so much he didn't rescue him. We often wonder why God waits to help us, but it's not always the best to be delivered from. Sometimes we need to go through. You know why? Because it's in the going through that you grow up. I'm all about spiritual maturity. It's wonderful if you're born again. I hope people receive Christ at the end of this service. But that's not all there is to it. That's just a beginning. Then you need to grow spiritually. You know, somebody came to see me. Well, Ellie, the girl that's here from England doing music, she brought her little son back to meet me, a little baby, and he's just cute. You know, he's smiling. You know what, when you got a little baby and their pacifier's cute and their bottle's cute, but you know when they're 40, that's not cute anymore. Amen? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Now these are grown men and women, but he says you are a spiritual infant. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Well, what did Paul mean? He wasn't giving them a glass of milk. He was saying, I have to teach you little baby messages. I can't really give you the meat of the word, which is what you're going to get from me today, so get ready. He said, I can't give you the meat of the word because you can't take it. You know, there's a lot of Christians that the only thing they can ever take is God loves you and he's going to bless you and you're going to prosper and you're wonderful. And we need that. We all need that. But that's not all we need. You can't just live on dessert. You got to have meat. I hope somebody knows what I'm talking about. To be honest, and I hope this doesn't sound crude, but sometimes you just need your little butt spanked. Amen. I'm getting in trouble from Dodie, she says. Well, we do. If you can sit in church week after week after week and never hear anything that makes you squirm a little, well, all right. Paul said you're still worldly because there's jealousy, quarreling. Are you not worldly and just acting like a mere human being? And we are not just mere human beings. We are humans full of God. Amen? And we don't have to stay mad at people every time they hurt us or treat us bad. We have the power to forgive people. And there's only about a third of you clapping for that. You know how many people there are in here today that are mad at somebody? Way too many. Way too many. You might say, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. Well, even if they don't, you deserve peace. You know that? And Jesus has provided peace. But he said, stop allowing yourselves to be upset and disturbed. You can be peaceful if you want to. But you have to stop being mad at people and stop getting upset every time things don't go your way. Now this is talking about Jesus. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, but he didn't. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Now, please get this. Son though he was, the very Son of God, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Now this is even better if I get into it deep. It actually says that Jesus gained the experience and the equipment that he needed to become the author of our salvation through the things that he suffered. And you know why I have the authority to have the privilege to do this today? Because I have gone through things that have been so hard that I would not even know how to tell you how hard they were and how bad they hurt. But it gave me equipment. And I can say to you, I know how you feel. But don't give up. Because God's going to bring you through, and he's going to bring you out, and you won't be the same person you were when you went in. You're going to come out with some experience, and you're going to come out with some equipment. Everybody, when they're hiring people to work, they always want people with experience. Well, God's got a lot of jobs open. God's got more jobs open than anybody on the earth, and he's looking for people with experience. Woo. I think I'm just going to preach until I make myself happy today. Are you understanding me? He's looking for people that's got equipment with some experience that he can trust. Hallelujah. I get to preach to so many people, but you know what God told me one time, and this was, to me, this is awesome. He said, I want you to always remember something. However many people you can help, that's exactly how many you can hurt. So yes, I'm on television in about two-thirds of the world in 100 languages. My God, how can a messed up woman who'd been abused, how can that happen? I mean, who am I to do that? Nobody. God chooses and uses the weak and the foolish things of the world so people just shake their head and say, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But I got the equipment. Here am I, God, send me. Colossians 1:28-29 says, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, Paul said, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Paul said, look, I am working myself to the bone so I can present you fully mature to Christ. Look, I'm not 30. I'm going to be 79 in June. That means I'm 1 year away from being 80. My gosh, that sounds old. But there is no way I can quit. I am determined you're going to grow up. Amen? I am taking your pacifier, and I am taking your baby bottle. And I'm taking your diapers. Oh, Joyce, behave. All right. John 11:11-16. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go there and wake him up. And his disciples said, Well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. But Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Like dead. But for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But now let us go to him. And I love this part. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples. See, now he's thinking, he's done it now. Now he's going to go over here and he's going to try to raise a dead man. And we're going to all get killed. And Thomas said, Well, let's just go. Let's all go so we can just die with him. Do you have a Thomas in your life? Come on, how many of you have a Thomas in your life? You want to believe something big and they just keep trying to tear you down. Well, just hope you're not Thomas. I love that. That's one of my favorite parts of this story. Well, let's just go die with him. But it was for their sake that he waited. It's for your sake that God is waiting. Now, you think you're waiting on God, but I want to tell you that I think he's probably waiting on you. Well, what's he waiting on me to do? Well, maybe to get over getting mad every time somebody doesn't just make you feel wonderful. Or get over being so easily offended. Oh, Jimmy. 16 minutes, okay. Jesus waited for the purpose of teaching them a greater lesson. Like I said in the early service, if you don't like mysteries, you are not going to like hanging out with God. Because there is just a whole bunch of stuff that's going to go on in your little sweet life that you are not going to understand. And we live life forward. We understand it backwards. I can look back now and I can say, I get it. But there may be some things that I'll never understand until I get to heaven. There's things that happen that don't seem fair. There's things that happen that don't seem right. Sometimes you see God blessing people that you think, I mean, really? I mean, God, I fast, I pray, I give. Well, maybe that's the problem. You're counting up all the good things you do. And thinking, well, I'm more spiritual than you are. Where do you think I got all this information? I'd lived through this. Oh, I remember when God gave a friend of mine something that I was believing for. And I could not believe that she got that because I was way more spiritual than she was. I mean, like way more spiritual than she was. She didn't deserve that, but I did. I thought God made a mistake. And I tell you what, she brought it over and showed it to me, and I thought, oh, I played the game. Oh, praise God. Oh, I am so happy for you. And inside I'm thinking, God, you got to get her out of my house before I have an all-out fit right here. Well, why did God do that? You know why he did it? Because he wanted to, God will do things like that sometimes, not because they deserve it, but to pull junk out of you. See, that was like a magnet. I didn't know that I had that kind of jealousy and envy and, yeah. I didn't know I had that in me. I thought I was so spiritual. Whew, I've learned some stuff in my life. Man. But it's hurt. Trials mixed with waiting develops patience. And patience is the ability to wait with a good attitude. Okay, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. When Jesus saw her weeping... Oh, no. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Martha said the same thing. Lord, if you would have been here. Well, just because Jesus wasn't there when you thought he should be, that doesn't mean that he still can't do anything. Come on. Well, Lord, it's just too late. You didn't come through for me. It is never too late with God. You just have no idea what God's got up his sleeve. I love that scripture that says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard all the good things that God has made ready, prepared, and stored up for those who love him. I tell you what, I am still a mess sometimes, but I love Jesus. I love him. And if that's all the qualification you need to get blessed, then I'm in for some good stuff. Woo! I'm so happy to be preaching to people again. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Well, come and see, Lord," they replied. And the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept. It's also the saddest. And he was not weeping because Lazarus was dead. He already knew what he was going to do. He was weeping because of their lack of faith. God wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust his word. He doesn't want us to live in fear of all the junk the world can come up with. You don't have to live in fear of COVID. You don't have to live in fear of a pandemic. You belong to God. And when it's time for you to get out of here, you're going to go out, whether it's with COVID or whatever else it is. And as long as God wants you here, you're going to stay here. And no devil in hell can take you out of his hands. Don't live in fear. Don't live worried all the time. Don't live angry all the time. Please, for Jesus' sake, enjoy your life. Well, how can I enjoy my life? I got all these problems. That's the whole point. You can enjoy your life while God works on your problems. Oh, and that makes the devil so mad. And see, you almost feel like that's not right. Well, I can't enjoy my life. I got these problems. Yes, you can. That's the whole point. You cast your care on him, and he cares for you. And while he's doing it, you can just enjoy your life. That doesn't mean that you're irresponsible. God, I'll do anything you tell me to do. I'll do what you show me to do. But I have made my mind up that I am not going to spend my life miserable because the devil comes up with a new problem every day. Then the Jews said, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, well, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? Why is one of our biggest questions, isn't it? You know what? Don't ask why. Just believe. What would happen if you made a commitment today to never again say, God, why? Boy, you don't like that, do you? It's been a good number of years since I've asked God why. Because mostly it's none of my business. God knows what he's doing. Now, you're not going to get in trouble with God if you ask him why, but most of the time he's not going to tell you anyway. God always has a reason for everything he does. Well, John 11:38-44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a huge boulder across the front of it. And Jesus said something else that makes no sense at all. He said, take away the stone. Now I ask you, if he was getting ready to raise a dead man, why did they need to roll away the stone? Come on now, here comes the lesson from today. And some of you have got some dead stuff in your life, and it's been dead long enough that it stinks. Well, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. If we take that stone away, he stinketh. Come on, do you ever say, my life stinks? Well, maybe there's a stone or two you need to roll away. Maybe God's saying to you, roll away that stone of unforgiveness. Roll away that stone of hidden sin. Get it out in the open. Talk to me about it. Let's get this done. Maybe you're believing God for a healing, but you're still living on junk food. You won't exercise. You don't get enough sleep. You want a miracle. You want God to raise the dead, but you won't roll away the stone. If you guys don't behave, I'm going to go talk to them. Is anybody tracking with me? Does anybody know where I'm at? What I'm talking about? I remember when God told me, he said, now, there's nothing else that I can do in your ministry. And I was begging God for the ministry to get bigger. He said, there's nothing else I can do in your ministry until you start treating your husband the way you know you're supposed to. Not talking back, having a submissive attitude. Oh, that submission thing about killed me. I mean, you just don't know. That just about finished me off. Because you got to understand, I was abused by men all my life, and I had promised myself, nobody is ever going to tell me what to do again. Come on now. And see, sometimes we can have a stone and we think we're justified in keeping it because of what's happened to us. No. There is no justification for ever doing anything that God has told you not to do. That's all right. You're going to get to go eat lunch in a few minutes. Wait a minute. The clock disappeared. Oh, there it is. 4 minutes. That'd be good if that clock disappeared and I could just preach as long as I wanted to. That thing keeps threatening me. 4 minutes now. So they took away the stone. Why did they have to take the stone away? Because we're partners with God. He doesn't do everything for us. Sometimes when you have a problem, one of the things you need to ask God, God, is there something that I need to do? Is there something that I have done? Is there something that you need to teach me? And maybe not. I'm not saying that there is every time. But maybe there is. Yeah, you don't look like you believe me. And Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this just for their benefit. And when he said this, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And God is calling some of you out of the tomb today. And you know what? That represents the new birth. Oh, but here it comes. Something else that we don't talk about in this story. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face, and Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes. You say, huh? Lazarus, come out, you're born again. Now, let's get rid of the bondages in your life. Let's get rid of these things that are holding you back. Let's go to work. The Holy Spirit's saying to some people here today, let you and I go to work. Come on, let's get this over with. Let's get it done. Stop running from it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Don't you stand in church and lift your hands up and sing, I surrender all. And yet you won't even forgive somebody who hurt your feelings. Maybe you've got a stone of unforgiveness. Maybe it's a stone of gossip and a judgmental attitude. You're one of those people that get on Facebook, don't put your name on anything, but you have an opinion about everything. Man, I tell you, that Joyce Meyer, she was at Lakewood today, and I went to hear her, and she just was so snotty. She didn't make me feel good at all. Have you asked God to do something for you and He hasn't done it yet? Do you need an answer to prayer, but you have refusing to forgive those who hurt you? God not only says to forgive your enemies, He says to bless them. To what, God? He says to pray. And I'll tell you something. If you pray regularly for the people that have hurt you, it is impossible to stay mad at them very long. Do you know how hard it is to pray for God to bless somebody that has treated you unjustly? We think God's going to give them a new car and a big house. You know what He's liable to bless them with first? Some truth about themselves. Oh, I got stories. Man, do I have stories. Do you need a financial breakthrough or a better job, but you haven't obeyed God in giving yet? No, that got quiet. Maybe it's one item you're holding on to that God has told you to give away and you just will not. I remember when I had a favorite coat, God told me, I want you to give that away. Well, you know, I don't mind giving something away so bad if I get to give it to somebody I like. But He told me to give it to some woman who had just treated me so bad. Oh, God, you have got to be kidding. Anybody but her. I don't know, maybe you haven't even gotten around to giving away what God tells you to give away, let alone give it to your enemies. Take your grave clothes off. It's time to not only come out of the tomb, but it's time to start rolling away stones. Amen. How many of you can think of, be honest with me, how many of you can right now think of a stone in your life that needs to be rolled away? Okay, Joyce, good job. God loves you so much, and He sent Jesus to die for you so you could have and enjoy your life. Not just so you could go to heaven. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and destroy, but I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Amen. Father, I pray for everybody here today that's got a stone in their life that needs to be rolled away, that they won't leave this service and just forget about it. I pray that they'll go home and ask the Holy Spirit to start working on them. That they would say to you, God, you have your way in my life, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, no matter how hard it is, and just help me not to run away from you. I want to be what you want me to be, Jesus, and I want to do what you want me to do. Now listen, I just want to ask today, if you're here and you have not received Christ as your Savior, are you falling away from God, gone back to living the way you shouldn't be living? And today you would just say by lifting your hand up in just a minute, Joyce, I want to receive Christ today. I want my sins to be forgiven and I want the assurance that I'll go to heaven when I die. But I don't just want that. I want God to have my life now, and I want him to do what he wants to do in me. I want to receive Christ today, or I've been away from him. I want to come back home. I'm like the prodigal son. It's time to come back home. Would you lift your hand up nice and high so I can see where you're at? Come on, all over the place. Let's see. Look at that. Could I just respectfully ask that people stop trying to leave? I don't mean to be rude to you, but if somebody next to you, if their salvation is on the line, don't disturb them by trying to get by them while they're trying to make a decision. Amen? Okay, now listen. I know this may be hard for some of you, and we're not doing it to embarrass you. But if you meant it when you put your hand up, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And you say, well, Joyce, I don't want to do that. It's going to be embarrassing. You know why I do that? If you won't take a stand in here, there's no chance that you're going to go out in the world and take one. So if you meant it, come on. Get up on your feet. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, all the way up there. I see you up in those top balconies. Amen. You're all so wonderful. I love you so much. Okay, pray this prayer with me. Let's all pray this with them. Father God, I love you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you took my sin upon yourself. You took the punishment I deserved. I believe you died on that cross. That you were buried. And 3 days later you were raised from the dead. And I believe you're seated in heaven right now. Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me. Save me. Now I surrender my life to you. Take me just the way I am and make me what you want me to be. Now I believe I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new person. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm going to enjoy the trip. Come on, give God a big praise. Now you might say, oh, it can't be that easy. Yes, if you meant it, God saw your heart. And if you need some more help or you want to ask questions about what all this means, you call my office on Monday morning. We have people that will talk to you. You can call the church here. You're on your way to some great things. Not all easy things, but some great things. Thank you for having me. I hope you enjoyed this today. I love you.
Back to the music.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
I'll worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. 'Cause I will worship Your holy name. Lord, I will worship Your holy name.
Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show, hip-hop's finest hour on the radio. I want to send a thank you, Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, for being a guest appearance on this show, on the Hypnotic Show. And then this is the guest appearance schedule this week. I got Reese Witherspoon on Thursday at 8 p.m., Friday, 8 p.m., Warren Buffett, Saturday, 8 p.m., Rihanna, and then Joel Osteen on Sunday. Catch you guys on Thursday. Peace.